Hello, boys and girls. I'm your Peter Pan storyteller.
This is the story of the last starfighter.
This is the story of Gremlins.
This is the story of Tron.
This is the story of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
This is the story of The Empire Strikes Back.
You can read along with me in your book.
You can follow the story along with me.
Every time you hear this sound...
Every time you hear this sound...
Turn the pages when you hear this sound.
You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear the computer sound like this.
Let's begin. Now.
We are the Gremlins, scares from the forest gloom.
Hey kids, welcome to the latest episode of When You Hear This Sound, brought to you by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This is your host, Rob Lamley. And so our non-canon Star Wars series comes to an end. We're wrapping things up with the read-along record book of Ewoks, The Battle for Endor, the made-for-TV sequel to Caravan of Courage and Ewok Adventure. The film debuted on ABC on November 24th, 1985, exactly 364 days after Caravan of Courage. After the success of Caravan of Courage, ABC asked Lucas if he'd be interested in making that made-for-TV movie a backdoor pilot for an Ewoks television series. Lucas turned down that idea, but did agree to do a sequel made-for-TV movie instead. This time, he brought in siblings Ken and Jim Wheat as writers and directors. The duo had previously written an early independent slasher film, 1979's Silent Scream, which made $7.9 million at the box office on a $600,000 budget, making it one of the most successful independent horror films at the time. They would go on to make a career out of low-budget sequel films like The Fly 2, The Birds 2, and The Stepford Husbands. But their best-known film writing credits are for A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and the Vin Diesel film Pitch Black. The scope of Battle for Endor was much more ambitious than Caravan of Courage, with a larger cast and a larger story that helped broaden the cultural landscape of Endor. Returning from the first film were child actors Warwick Davis as Wicket, Eric Walker as Mace, and Aubrey Miller as Sindel. Wilford Brimley, fresh off of his starring role in Cocoon, was cast as Noah, a grumpy old hermit who was crash-landed on Endor. Karel Stiukin, who played the giant on Twin Peaks and Lurch in the Addams Family movies, was cast as Turok, the leader of a group of marauders. And British acting icon Dame Sean Phillips, probably best known to us geeks as Cassiopeia in Clash of the Titans and Reverend Mother Mohiam in David Lynch's Dune, played Shirelle, an evil sorceress. Battle for Endor received mixed reviews upon release, but it went on to win an Emmy for Outstanding Special Visual Effects. The film was one of the last for Lucas's industrial light and magic to use old-fashioned stop motion, mostly when realizing the creatures of Endor. By this time, ILM had started using Go Motion, a more advanced form of stop motion that used motorized puppets to handle some of the movements, providing a more fluid and realistic style than traditional stop motion. However, the made-for-TV budget just wasn't enough to cover the expense of using Go Motion. Much like Caravan of Courage, the film was released theatrically overseas and was given a different title, The Ewoks and the Marauders of Endor. For whatever reason, Lucasfilm never adopted this new title over the original, even though I have to admit, it sounds a little bit cooler. Just like the first Ewoks film, The Battle for Endor is still technically part of the Star Wars Legends category of stories. However, the Blurgs, a species of hump-backed bipedal pack animals, mostly ridden by Terex Marauders, have become canon, making appearances in both the Clone Wars animated series as well as on The Mandalorian. For whatever reason, the read-along record book of Battle for Endor is highly sought after by collectors. You can typically find the record for Caravan of Courage going for about $10 on eBay or Discogs, but it's not unusual for Battle for Endor to sell between $30 and $45. I don't know if this record just didn't have as many copies published or if it's just a fan favorite, but that kind of money for a kid's record book is pretty insane. And hey, I'm going to give you the chance to listen to this record rarity right now. As usual, you'll find the scanned pages of the record book over in the show notes at spacemonkeyx.net. But before we listen to the record, I just wanted to say thank you for coming along with me on our non-canon Star Wars journey. I hope you've enjoyed this glimpse into what might have been in a galaxy far, far away. And with that, here is Ewoks, The Battle for Endor, released by Buena Vista Records in 1985. Enjoy.
This is the story of Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. You can read along with me in your book.
You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this. Let's begin now. It was morning on the forest moon of Endor where the Ewoks lived. Wicket, the little Ewok, was strolling through the woods with Sindel, a girl whose family's star cruiser had crashed there several months before.
Sindel leave soon?
I guess so. My father's almost finished fixing our ship. Pretty soon, we'll have to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Not good.
Before Sindel could reply, Wicket stopped and sniffed the air.
Danger!
He and Sindel ran to a hill overlooking the Ewok village. Sindel gasped,
"The village! It's being attacked!"
Below them, marauders 7 feet tall strode among the frightened Ewoks, burning huts and taking prisoners. Wicket scrambled down the hill. Sindel followed, looking for her mother and brother. Then she saw them. Her mother lay injured next to a log. Beside her, Mace was firing at the marauders. But as Sindel hurried toward them, there was an explosion. The log and everything around it were destroyed. Stunned, Sindel ran into the forest to find her father.
Daddy! Daddy!
Sindel's father, Jeremit Tawani, was repairing the family star cruiser in a nearby meadow. Suddenly, marauders burst from the forest and surrounded him. Tarek, the marauder king, approached Jeremit with the evil witch Shoral beside him.
I know you're the keeper of the power. Give it to me, now!
When Jeremit refused, the marauders tore apart the control panel and found a small metal unit pulsing with light. Just then, Sindel emerged from the forest.
Sindel, go back!
Dodging laser fire, Jeremit dashed toward his daughter. He was hit, then stumbled into the woods with Sindel. Watching them, Shoral rubbed a strange ring on her finger. In the blink of an eye, she changed into a raven and flew after them. Hidden among the trees, Sindel threw her arms around her injured father.
Daddy, they killed Mommy and Mace.
Jeremit winced with pain.
Sindel, remember the story about the little bird who was blown from his nest during a rainstorm? Fly like the little bird and go to Wicket. He'll help you find your way home.
But I want to stay with you, Daddy.
I'll always be with you. Now go, please.
As she ran away, the marauders fired. Jeremit slumped to the ground. The raven saw Sindel and flew toward her. A moment later, Sindel slammed into Shoral.
Let me go!
There's no escape for you, my little one. Now only you can tell us the secret of the power.
Sindel was locked in a cage wagon with Wicket and his friends. Trying to escape, the Ewoks pulled up a floorboard, but couldn't fit through. Sindel spoke up.
Wicket and I are small. Let us try.
They squeezed through and ran into the woods. Sindel pointed to a hillside cave.
Let's hide there.
As they climbed inside, two marauders saw them and fired, knocking loose a big rock. Boulders thundered down, burying the marauders and trapping Sindel and Wicket in the cave. The two friends searched for a way out.
Look, Wicket! Daylight!
They ran to the opening and found themselves atop a sheer cliff. Wicket, seeing bones and animal hides nearby, began weaving them together to form a crude hang glider. As Wicket finished, Sindel gasped.
Those rocks next to you, they're moving! Wicket, it's a dragon!
Using a spear-like bone, Wicket tried to protect Sindel. But the dragon grabbed her in its claws and flew out of the cave. Following in his hang glider, Wicket swooped down next to the dragon. He leaned out, took hold of Sindel, and snatched her from the dragon's claws. Then he guided his craft to the safety of the woods. Sindel and Wicket spent the night in a hollow tree trunk. The next morning,
a small furry creature named Teek awakened them. Sindel thought he might be able to help.
Do you know where there's food?
Darting ahead, the creature led them to a small cottage. Following the creature through the door, Sindel glanced around.
I like this place. Let's stay for a while.
Just as they were settling in, the door burst open, and a man with a white beard stood glaring at their furry friend.
Teek, I told you to keep strangers away from here. They'd better be gone by the time I count to 10. 1, 2.
Sindel took Wicket's hand and they left the cottage. That evening, as the two friends huddled by a fire, the old man ran from the cottage and poured water on the flames.
What are you trying to do? Burn down the forest?
Sindel shivered.
It's cold, and I was afraid.
The man frowned at her.
Any fool knows the proper place for a fire is in a fireplace. Come back inside.
Noah, the old man, agreed to let them stay if they helped around the house. Soon, Sindel noticed something very strange.
Every morning, Noah goes off and doesn't come back until sunset. Wicket, let's find out where he goes.
Okay.
They followed him to a huge metal object covered with vines. It was a star cruiser. As Sindel climbed the steps, Noah saw her.
You should never have come here. No one knows about this.
Grumbling, Noah took Sindel and Wicket back to the cottage, where he told them his story.
It seems like a lifetime since Captain Selleck and I crashed here. Our power unit was broken, so Selleck went off to search for another one. He never returned. Now I'm stuck here, and I'll probably never get home.
Sindel rested her head on his shoulder.
I'm stuck too, Noah. Maybe someday we can go home together.
After dinner that night, Noah showed Sindel a wooden flute he'd brought from home. She thought back to what he had told her that afternoon.
Noah, is Captain Selleck dead?
I think so. He must be.
My family's dead too. They're gone forever.
No, Sindel. They're still with you. Here.
Noah tapped his heart.
Remember what they said and did. They'll always live in your memories.
Sindel awoke the next morning to the sound of a familiar voice singing.
Mommy, is that you?
Following the voice into the forest, she saw a beautiful young woman in a white robe. Beside her stood a handsome white horse.
Come to me, my little one.
As Sindel approached, the white robe suddenly turned black, and the lovely smile became an evil grin. It was Sharal the witch.
Let me go! Wicket,
I told you there'd be no escape.
Sharal took her to King Tarek's castle, where Tarek showed Sindel the power unit from her father's star cruiser.
Now use your magic to bring the power to life.
But I can't. It's just a part from a star cruiser.
Take the power with you and make it work. If you don't, you and the Ewoks will be doomed.
He pulled the ring off Sharal's finger.
And you, witch, will die with them. Throw them in the dungeon with the Ewoks.
Meanwhile, Noah, Wicket, and Teek had followed Sindel's trail. Noah threw a rope over the castle wall.
Okay, you two, up and over. I'm right behind you.
Inside, they crept down to the dungeon, where Teek stole the keys and freed their friends. Sindel gave Noah the glowing power unit. Noah's eyes opened wide.
This is the part I need for my ship.
From the throne room, Tarek heard noises below.
Guards, come with me to the dungeon.
By the time the marauders reached the dungeon, the prisoners were gone. Tarek grabbed Sharal.
You helped them escape. For that, you'll die.
Wait, Tarek. I heard them say there's another ship. If you let me fly after them, they'll lead me to it.
Tarek slipped Chiral's ring onto her finger, changing her into a raven. Then he tied the ring to a cord around his neck.
Find the power. Then I'll let you have the ring back.
Guided by the raven, Tarek's soldiers followed the Ewoks to Noah's Star Cruiser. Noah placed the power unit in the control panel.
This should activate the weapons!
The panel sputtered and came to life. The ship's guns roared. Fighting off a band of marauders, Sindel and the Ewoks ran to the ship. The Ewoks made it inside, but when they looked around, Sindel was gone. Noah and the Ewoks peered out and saw Tarek holding her.
Old man, I have the child, and you have something of mine.
Noah came out clutching the power unit.
Harm the girl and you'll get nothing. Release her and I'll fight you for the power.
Tarek let Sindel go and she ran to Noah. The Marauder King stepped forward.
The power, give it to me.
If you want it, you'll have to take it.
Noah charged straight at Tarek. Noah hit Tarek with his walking stick, but the king recovered quickly. Swinging his sword in a tremendous arc, Tarek broke the stick in two.
You're finished, old man.
Wicket dug into his pouch, found a rock, and placed it in a sling. He whirled it around his head and sent it flying toward Tarek. It struck the ring that hung from Tarek's neck, smashing it and driving the pieces deep into his chest. Tarek staggered and fell. As Noah and the others stared in amazement, the Marauder King writhed, twitched weakly, and turned to stone. Stunned by the loss of their leader, the Marauders fled into the woods. The raven rose into the air and flew away, cawing sadly. Now it could never change back. At last, Sindel and Noah could go home. As the Ewoks gathered around the Star Cruiser, Sindel hugged Wicket.
You're my best friend. I'll be back.
Noah said goodbye to Teek, then took Sindel's hand.
It's time to go.
They climbed into the Star Cruiser. Wicket and Teek stood together and watched as the ship rose through the trees and streaked across the sky.
Thanks for stopping by the show today. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can head over to spacemonkeyx.net for pictures, links, and additional information about this episode, and check out some of the other podcasts presented by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This has been your host, Rob Lamley. Thanks for listening to When You Hear This Sound, the podcast dedicated to the weird and wonderful world of read-along record books and storybook vinyl. I'll see y'all next time.